The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Thursday, June the 10th, and we are going to talk about some off-season priorities with our buddy Tyler Sullivan. In the feed, if you want to know everything about Aaron Rodgers, because you haven't heard enough about him this offseason, you can check out a discussion with our good friend Jason LaCanfora, where he breaks it all down. Interesting approach. You know, the narrative is starting to turn on Rodgers a little bit, but TLC kicks that speculation to the curb. And you can also watch JLC. I actually just saw JLC. Oh, look, there's my name on CBS Sports HQ right now. CBS Sports HQ is the network to start your sports news day with at 8 a.m. Eastern with the morning buzz, an hour of highlights, news, and all the day's need to know. Come back or just leave it on all day at 6 p.m. as we break down the night's action, release dozens of picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world. How do you watch HQ? It's easy. Go to your Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, really almost any connected TV, and look for the CBS Sports app. Fire it up. Check out HQ, the only 24/7 free streaming sports network, also available on Pluto TV and I believe on Paramount Plus, which would be crazy if it wasn't. You know who might know better than me? Tyler Sullivan. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
What's going on, Will? And yes, that is all there on Paramount Plus.
Yes.
So is the new iCarly, by the way. That's coming out too. I'm very excited about that. That's a little bit before you, but okay. As I was younger, it's an iCarly. It was a Nickelodeon show.
After me.
It was after you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know about iCarly, but I never watched it.
It was like just as I was getting out, like, you know what, I'm a little too old for this now, but I'm excited for it because they're all grown up now. They're drinking beers. It's very exciting.
Mm. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of like maybe a Boy Meets World type of thing?
Yeah, it's basically kind of what they're doing. You know how like they went to college and all that? Like, you know,
I guess you didn't really watch Saved by the Bell.
No, I was with Boy Meets World. I was there for that. Saved by the Bell, I was a little bit too young for that one.
Yeah, so Saved by the Bell was the thing for us. I guess Boy Meets World came on a little bit later. We had, you know, like I was, you know, my peak, this is very peak Pick Six podcast to like get off onto a tangent about TGIF, but like Perfect Strangers, Family Matters, Full House.
Yeah.
All were like at the pinnacle of my too young to do anything on a Friday. Still want to but want to watch TV, you know, some nice, innocent, wholesome, funny television that, you know, age. I don't really know how old that is. I guess like 10 to 12 or something. 10 to 14.
That's about right.
Full House was probably like 95.
Yeah, right. It has to be. I mean, that's like, you know, mid 90s prime Full House. I didn't even know that's Fresh Prince area. That's the whole nine.
Huge for me. Yeah. So Full House 87 to 95. Yes. I mean, I'm 6 to 14, you know, that's 6. I'm not really watching a bunch of Friday night television, but you know,
that's more Saturday morning cartoon area, right.
But like 8 to 14 is peak. I can't leave my house. I have no physical way of leaving my house. And my parents, you know, maybe 14, you're getting to the movies or something like that.
Nope.
Anyway. I don't know. Oh, Paramount Plus. Yes, that's right.
Exactly.
That's how I access it for my I have an LG smart TV with the Paramount Plus little thing on the, like you hit the home button, you can just go to Paramount Plus. It's really quite nice. Smart by the folks who pay our salaries to figure that out. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers, just really quickly touch on it with you. I know Debo said we're not going to talk about it, but I mean, it is a thing. He's not at minicamp. Where do you stand on this?
To me, with Aaron Rodgers, it's kind of, I think he's being inspired by, and I saw it firsthand. I don't always love to go to the Patriots, but with Tom Brady, I do notice that I think he kind of, you know, awoken a lot of these quarterbacks where they go, okay, well, you know, if I don't love my situation, I can leave. I think that there was this stigma of, well, it's really hard to change franchise. You have to learn a whole new system. You have to gain chemistry with all these new players, these pass catchers, an offensive line, a coach. Brady kind of was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'll go to Tampa and immediately wins the Super Bowl. I think that that now is full proof. You know, there's probably a lot of quarterbacks that say, you know, I could probably do it. But now you actually look at an example as Brady saying, wow, okay, I really can make an impact in year one. And I think Rodgers, who, you know, I think we would all agree, probably should have more than one Super Bowl on his resume at this point, is looking resume-wise and saying, I need to act quick. And if I'm on a team that's not building around me, I need to go to a place that maybe will build around me or already has pieces in place that I can go and contend for a Super Bowl with. So I don't fault him trying to solidify his legacy. That's something very similar to what Russell Wilson said earlier this offseason to Dan Patrick. At the end of the day, it's his legacy that's on the line here. So to me, I don't necessarily fault him for that.
And I think the other thing too, that I think you're spot on the Brady stuff, Tom, you know, we saw the shots of Russell Wilson at the Super Bowl, and he's, you know, you're at the Super Bowl with Roger Goodell accepting the most prestigious off-field award you could possibly get in the NFL for being a good human being. And you're with your wife, I'm sure your kids are there, you know, and he looked miserable because he realized that Tom Brady, the point is Tom Brady not just showed, hey, look, you can go somewhere else and win. You don't have to just win in your situation, but also, you know, when you're a really good quarterback, you can, and you go somewhere else, you can sort of command, you can ask for things and they might give them to you. And I think Rodgers and Russ are frustrated by the fact that they don't have as many rings as Tom Brady that they could, and they probably believe that they would if their teams had been would acquiesce to their request in the way that the Bucks did.
But it's not, you know, as much as I'm pointing to like rings and contention and stuff like that, there's also that just, you know, I don't even really know how to qualify it, but just the open honesty between the franchise, the Patriots and Bill Belichick, it was a very clear hierarchy. You know, Brady was a player, Belichick's the decision maker, head coach. He goes to Tampa Bay and, you know, hey, I'd like to bring Gronk back. All right, well, Bruce Arians, Jason Light, we'll go get him. We like Antonio Brown. All right, great, we'll go get him. There was a collaborative effort there. And yes, even going back to this draft where Brady's, you know, very aware that they're probably going to draft Kyle Trask, and you look at Aaron Rodgers' situation, he didn't even know that they were going after Jordan Love. So it's that part of it too. It's not so much, you know, the contention and winning and all that, but it's more collaborative when you move to an organization like that.
And just to pat myself on the back, which is something I like to do frequently, I pointed this out when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. The examples I used were both Under Armour and Uggs. And to an extent, like some of the TB12 stuff too, but like Tom Brady doesn't want to be a shill. He didn't want to just be the guy who shows up and plays quarterback. He wants to be a partner and he wants a collaborative effort. And I think I've said this for a long time about Under Armour and Uggs. Like he's not getting a check. I mean, he probably is getting a check, but he's got equity in these companies. So it's not just, you know, a lot of times with these athletes, when you do the interviews, you know, they're just getting paid to do appearances and they don't care if they help promote the product.
Like great, for instance, if Tom Brady was one of those guys just trying to get the ad money and all that stuff, he would have done a million Dunkin' Donuts commercials up in New England for about the 20 years that he was here.
He sips a fake cup of coffee because he doesn't drink it. He just dumps it out. Yeah,
exactly. He would have been all about it. And, you know, he's very meticulous in what he picks, from what I've noticed, in what he picks in terms of his ad deals.
And it helps to sort of, it only, you know, burnishes his legacy because these are elite companies that he partners himself with. And I really think that he went to Bruce Arians and Jason Light. He said, look, I love what you guys are, you know, I love the thought of Tampa. It makes a lot of sense. I do want to have a collaborative effort. I don't want to tell you who to draft and who to do, but like, I want to have some collaboration. I think you're onto something. I think Rodgers and Russ are frustrated by that lack of collaboration. But you know what? you signed the contract. So
that's true. There's part of that as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about some teams with stuff to do this offseason. You wrote an article determining Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones' future, headline, biggest remaining offseason priorities for each NFL team. And naturally, it got blown up immediately because the Falcons.
Pretty quickly.
Would you write this on June 4th?
Yes.
This is on June 7th. Is that or 6th?
It had a nice little 3-day weekend, whatever it was going to be. And then
it came out on Friday, June 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because tomorrow, my anniversary, June 11th.
Wow. Congratulations.
10 years. We went to Pinehurst for our anniversary.
Whoa. All right. I like it.
I pulled that off. That was actually my wife's idea. She's probably listening right now. A little mini anniversary trip. Anyway.
Nice.
The Raiders are a team that you said to focus in on for their future, and you want to keep their phone lines open. Talk to me about why the Raiders should keep their phone lines open as a big offseason priority.
And so, you know, Debo was asking me last night over email, like, all right, list a few teams that we want to talk about here. And I know that this podcast gets a lot of flack for going against the Raiders. So I want to talk about them almost.
Derek Carr, not necessarily the Raiders.
That's true. But I also just want to put them in a positive light. Not so much Derek Carr here, but put them at the forefront because I do think that there is an underrated storyline here with the Raiders this offseason. And we look at these, we were just talking about the two biggest quarterbacks this offseason that we're talking about potentially leaving their franchise. What is the one thing that those guys have in common on top of other things? But they both were interested or reportedly interested in joining the Las Vegas Raiders. Both of those, they were on the wish list. They were both being talked about as potential destinations. Maybe not the favorite, but they were both on there. And I think at the time, a lot of us were like, wow, really? The Raiders? Why would you want to go there? Okay, well, maybe Wilson, you know, Sierra could do something there. Maybe some business opportunities there for Aaron Rodgers. He gets into the AFC West. That's a little bit difficult, but we'll see. And I just wonder, we're still very new into the Vegas transition for the Raiders. And is that going to be a destination for a lot of these players, these star athletes? You know, it's a little bit more NBA-ified, if I can use that as a or make up a word here, but it reminds me of like
podcast. Yeah, make up words, please.
It reminds me a little bit of like the Miami Heat. Like whenever there's a star player available, it's always like the heater in the conversation, whether it's like Kawhi, you know, Dame Lillard, Westbrook, whoever it's going to be, the Heat are always in that conversation. And the past two biggest quarterbacks that we, you know, of recent memory that are requesting a trade, here come the Raiders kind of out of nowhere. They're the only kind of common theme a little bit as we're looking at these teams. So to me, if you're even in the discussion with these guys wanting to play for your organization, as much as you may like Derek Carr and what he brings to the table, I think I saw the NFL and CBS app, a Twitter account post that like the only quarterbacks that pose a low TD to interception ratio over the past 2 years, it's like Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Derek Carr. But in all reality, we know that, you know, two of those guys are similar, but not so much Derek Carr. To me, if you're looking to upgrade that position and two guys of that caliber are looking at you, let's see what happens. We all know something might happen here with Aaron Rodgers. I know you talked about it with JLC. We'll see what happens as we move forward with that. We're not at OTA, not to start a mandatory mini camp. And a lot of people think the Broncos are the team, but let's not sleep on the Raiders here. You can always outbid somebody. It's not a lock just because a lot of people think that's where he's going to end up. Let's see what the Raiders do here. Keep the phone lines open. That's the biggest thing here.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, this is – so the Packers have said they're not trading. I don't think – the Seahawks are not trading Russell Wilson. And I think
at this point now,
going up to OTAs and putting that on Instagram. And look, you're probably almost too old for this, but you know, we both get it. When an athlete in 2021 posts, you know, when Russell Wilson's had the offseason that he's had, and there's all the rumors and the stuff that he said and trade banter and all, we've talked about all this stuff. And then he posts an Instagram of flying into Seattle for OTAs. That is him saying everything's gone. It's not bridge water under the bridge, but it's I'm moving forward to play for the Seahawks in 2021. And I'm not going to be talking. I mean, that's sort of the message I get. Maybe I'm an old man and I don't get it, but I think when an athlete does that in 2020, it's like scrubbing, you know, if you went to your Instagram and you scrubbed it of all things CBS, you know, you're sending a message.
Right. That's right.
The Instagram posts are messages to me.
And it's the same thing that we started this whole saga with. The second we were hearing about him, you know, wanting to be traded, oh, here are a list of five teams that he would enjoy going to. Like, you know, there are certain signs that there are certain messages that are getting posted out there. And when it's something positive like that, you know, Wilson can just post on his Instagram, touching down into Seattle, getting ready to work. It's a clear signal that the fences have been mended there. And Pete Carroll even said as much heading into that. So it's not so much Russell Wilson. It's more so Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, even as we wait to see what happens with Deshaun Watson and all that, like, you know, if he gets his off the field stuff cleared out, still wants to get traded. I'm just curious to see if Las Vegas is a bigger draw than we're giving it for these star players, and more specifically quarterbacks, but, you know, any of these guys that become available. I'm just curious to see that development as we go forward here, because it's still very early in the Vegas era. Sure.
Well, I mean, the only year that they played in Vegas, no fans.
Yeah.
Vegas was shut down. So, yeah, I mean, Vegas is, I mean, if I were in my 20s and single and a professional athlete, I mean, I'd almost have to, I'd be like, look, listen, you know, sometimes you need an app on your phone that puts time limits on certain apps.
Yeah.
Maybe they even have that. I don't know. Like, you know, like I don't need to be tweeting after 10 PM really, just for the sake of my employment.
That's probably smart.
Right. Or, you know, like if I could press a button, that's like, I've had two beers, turn off, like shut down Twitter. There you go. Patrol Butts at Patrol Butts. Debo, if you're watching on YouTube, and you can watch on YouTube, oh, this is from 2019. Thank goodness. Raiders for Life. His Twitter handle is at Patrol Butts. Just deleted the Pick Six podcast for my favorites at Will Brinson. Not listenable if you're a Raiders fan at John Breach. Unfortunately, Patrol Butts, you spelled your wrong.
Oh, that's how it's always your. It's always.
Yeah, it's always your.
Always.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, yeah, I think that that's a good one. I think Las Vegas would be it would be enticing for sure, yeah, for these players. I think, and we'll see how much draw there is. But certainly, if Aaron Rodgers is traded, or if Deshaun Watson is traded, then it would make sense that Las Vegas should get involved, because there's some heat being cranked up on John Gruden, and he's pushing it off on Mike Mayock.
And just to kind of go behind the curtain a little bit too, like, you know, you're going through and as you read the article, you know, some of it's philosophies, some of it's actual moves that these teams need to make. And when I'm looking at the Raiders, we've talked about this a couple of times, and here I go kind of dumping on the Raiders right now. But, like, we don't know what this offseason really was. They kind of, you know, shook up an offensive line that was already borderline elite or elite. They added Kenyon Drake when they already had Josh Jacobs. They just kind of made a lot of puzzling moves that I don't know if they're trying to rebuild, contend. They're kind of on the fence for me. And I think it's, you know, if you are able to get one of these quarterbacks, it clears things up a lot more. It's one of those completely washes away any questions that you have because you have this elite guy. And that's the number one thing for them right now. They need to get it figured out. You know, as much as they may say they like Derek Carr, there's always going to be the rumblings of, well, is week eight going to be when Marcus Mariota maybe takes over? And when you're starting to have those conversations with a guy that you quote unquote love, then you're still looking for that guy.
Yeah. And look, Derek Carr has $2.5 million in guaranteed money left on his final 2 years of his contract. That is, you can say whatever you want. This is not an indictment of Derek Carr. But I said when John Gruden took over, maybe it's been forever ago, maybe they've restructured maybe they gave him a new deal or whatever it was. But, you know, his contract was structured in such a way that, you know, he's 30 years old. They can get out of this. If they traded for Aaron Rodgers, they can cut Derek Carr today, and there's almost no financial ramifications for them over the short or long haul.
And there's an emphasis for this organization specifically, because you're looking at a division now with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and if you don't get Aaron Rodgers, the most likely other team is going to be the Denver Broncos, and now you're talking about facing those three, you know, you could say
Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers six times.
That's probably six losses. That's probably six losses. So it's like, you know, you're at a real make or break point here when you're talking about potential quarterback movement. And again, if any of these guys say they like your city and are intrigued about joining you, you know, you talk about it, like I said earlier, a lot with the NBA. Whenever these guys say that they like Houston or they post an Instagram story about, hey, loving Boston, loving Philadelphia, you start to have those wheels turning. Oh, is he going to join the Sixers in free agency? Is he going to join the Celtics in free agency? I wonder if we're going to get that a little bit with these quarterbacks now, especially with Vegas.
The New England Patriots have to make the list.
Of course, right?
Right. Not because you're a Patriots guy. I mean, the Patriots did make the playoffs last year for the first time since 2008, when Tom Brady tore his ACL. Yep. And Matt Castle actually won a bunch of games, but they missed the playoffs because the Dolphins were randomly good with the Wildcat, which, man, that seems as old as Full House. For you, what is the biggest Patriots offseason priority?
And this one still holds true, and there was some news that developed over the weekend or over the past couple of days since I wrote the article that kind of really put this even more into focus, and it's simply just to get Mac Jones ready to go. It's so baseline. It's so simple. But at the end of the day, the Patriots have four quarterbacks on the roster right now, and that's really tough to kind of really get things into a full swing. You got to remember that Cam Newton did not have an offseason last year. So he's still kind of figuring stuff out, trying to rebound off of a so-so first year in New England. But you're also, if you're Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, trying to get your first round pick in order. So there is a weird juggling act to go along here as you're eventually going to make the change, whenever it's going to be. You know, it could be in the middle of this year. It's probably not going to be week one. Or do you just put him in bubble wrap and you keep him for 2022. Whatever the case may be, Mac Jones at one point will be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. It's just, when can you start to do that? And the reason why I said it's probably going to be more into the focus now is because late last week, Cam Newton hurt his hand or his finger or whatever it is, his throwing hand, in practice during OTAs. He reportedly, you know, might have hit it over a helmet as he's following through with the throw. And it seemed like he was in relative pain. Doesn't look like he's going to be participating much. They reportedly say it's not serious, but again, you're missing valuable practice time reps. And so for right now, that's bad for Cam Newton, but it could be good for Mac Jones. You have all of this time now with the ones from everything that reporters have seen down at Gillette. It seems like he's been the number two guy after Cam Newton in all of these OTA 7-on-7, 11-on-11 reps. So now if he jumps up to the first team, that can only help the young guy. And so for me, when I say why you have to get him ready, it's not only if Cam Newton is, you know, the same quarterback that we saw last year, that just a great guy, threat with his legs at the red zone, but an inconsistent passer. But what happens if he's not healthy? You know, as much as we talk about this hand injury kind of being a fluke thing, he hasn't been the healthiest guy over the past few years of his career. You know, he was pretty much healthy last year outside of COVID, but you know, in Carolina, you know this. Well, it just he's had these injuries towards the latter half of his career. So you don't want to get caught, you know, not having Mac Jones ready if you have to thrust him in there. We saw what that happened with Jarrett Stidham at times, and it kind of broke him a little bit. So to me, get the young kid ready. He's your clear future. Use this time now so he can get ready to go.
Last year in 15 games with the Patriots, he had 137 rushing attempts, which was the second highest total of his career, Cam Newton did. That's a lot of wear and tear on a guy with a, you know, who's had a bad shoulder. I mean, I'm not saying that Cam's going to wear down, but each one of these hits, even when Cam is running forward, and I think those hits tend to be less damaging than the pocket hits, but each one of these hits, I mean, you know, you suffer a shoulder injury. It's a Patriots team that spent a ton of money this offseason. You don't spend a bunch of money in free agency and then, you know, like, this is not a, hey, we're trying to figure it out for 2024. This is I'm mad that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl and I didn't make the playoffs. I know the streets are talking. I know what they're saying about my legacy. It's a Bill Belichick spending money, being aggressive in the open market, being aggressive in the draft, and trying to win a lot of football games this year. And he believes he can do it. I think it's entirely possible, but I think this is where you're right about the Mac Jones thing being more important than trying to find a true number one receiver. And obviously the Julio Jones thing has sailed. If Cam is A, gets hurt, or B is, and I don't think we know yet, because you know, if you're looking on YouTube, you can see Cam Newton's game log that Debo has helpfully pulled up here. Look at those first three games. He was three games. He was a lot better than I think people give him credit for. And he looked like he was comfortable in that offense, and he looked like he was going to produce really well. Then he gets COVID, misses the KC game, and was frankly just terrible after that. And we don't know if it was the off season, if it was the physical toll of COVID. It has affected a lot of different people very differently across the country and across the world. And it, some athletes, particularly Boston, there's like a bunch of like Evan Fournier,
Tatum,
Tatum, Eduardo Rodriguez, Camden. I mean, it is, that's kind of an interesting thing to think about for whatever reason, just Boston. But my point being is that if Cam is going to be bad Cam or Cam's going to be hurt Cam, you're trying to win games, you need Mac Jones to be game ready. And that's a pretty important component to this offseason. All right, let's take a quick break. And we come back, a couple more priorities for the offseason.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Hello, everyone. It's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Okay, I feel like you're just trolling Jaguars fans here, Sully. The Jaguars need to do what? What should be their offseason priority?
They need to add a tight end, or at least add to the position. Sorry, Tim. Love you, mean it. It was really fun watching you at Florida. Really fun watching you with the Denver Broncos beat the Steelers. You know, that it was a fun storyline. I'm pretty sure I T-bowed in my younger days when that was a thing. Sure. But to me, I just don't know what they're doing at the position here right now. And it's not even so much about Tebow. That's a side cart story. It's a little bit, you know, fun and games. I'm making light of it. But you look at the depth chart there, and there's really not much there. And I was trying to do a little bit of research as to Trevor Lawrence. Like, did he throw it? I'm from Boston. College football is just not in my DNA. I watch a little bit of BC and stuff like that. But I try my best because it's obviously my job to know what kind of guys are coming out. So I watch a little bit of Trevor Lawrence. But, like, you know, I'm not as ingrained as the Clemson fan or anything like that. So I wanted to see, you know, did they utilize the tight ends a lot at Clemson? And they really didn't. It wasn't in a
– They really never really had any tight ends.
There really wasn't anybody – Yeah, there really wasn't anybody that was, you know, an NFL talent that you could say, okay, like he worked well with him or anything like that. But as we've seen these young quarterbacks go into the league, and I don't expect Trevor Lawrence to be any different, what's their best friend? It's a tight end that they can just dump off to. As much as we hype up Trevor Lawrence to be the second coming, he's still going to be a rookie quarterback that's probably going to have some lumps and is going to want to start to kind of have an outlet at the tight end position or something like that. So to me, I just want to find something for him to lean on when he can't find his receivers on the outside. So to me, and I don't think Tim Tebow is going to be that, this would be a sneaky situation where I would love the Jaguars to go after a guy like Zach Ertz. This would be a fun scenario where you can make a trade. I think they have plenty of cap space available. I don't know where they are with their signing with their draft picks, but I know that they have right now one of the highest cap spaces, if not the highest cap space in the NFL. He clearly absorb a guy like Zach Ertz. He's going to be very motivated going into a contract year. He might want a new contract with Jacksonville, and if they want to do it, great. But to me, I would love something like that. You bring in a known veteran who you could use in the passing game. To me, that would make the most sense in the world.
Yeah, I like that idea. The Tebow thing, I mean, we're not going to spend too much time talking about it, but I mean, these off-season time, it's like these Pittsburgh Steelers beat reporters, right? Ben looks incredible out there. Yeah, but he does.
Right.
Best shape of his life.
career year renaissance, perhaps. And then the same thing with Tebow. These Jaguars reporters are out at camp. They're like, Tebow is jacked, baby. He's going to be tough to bring down. It's like, all right, okay, you know what? If you're going to hype up Tim Tebow in this offseason, you're going to get a ton of speculation from me for the rest of anything you ever say again. And second of all, if Tebow sucks, I hope your takes are exposed is my point there. But I like that. I like the Ertz thing. That makes sense. They have $38 million in cap space, tons of room. And I think if you're look at this.
There he is.
He is jacked.
I mean, yeah, he looks great, but can he actually catch a pass? You know, the only pass that I remember him even attempting to catch was that famous one when he was with the New York Jets where he just gets clanked off the helmet. Like, it's, right. You know, I don't know. And they say maybe he's in a Taysom Hill type role. All right, that's great, but you still need a tight end. You still need somebody that could be that outlet for Trevor Lawrence. And quickly on the aside with Tebow, I don't know if Urban Meyer is going galaxy brain or anything like that, but like there is absolutely zero hype around Trevor Lawrence, and there's more hype around Tim Tebow. It's crazy. Are you trying to shield him?
I don't buy that. That's what Urban Meyer's trying to do. I think
he's probably trying to do his buddy a solid or his neighbor a solid, but like
I think Tebow's like, coach, I will rat you out unless you give me
Big time.
You know, hey, listen, I'm going to unload. I got a closet full of skeletons.
I have one heck of a book that I could release.
Exactly. That's my theory. He's blackmailing Urban Meyer. No, I mean, at any rate, the thing with Tebow, it's going to get, and if they take the only reason I'm here for Tebow is if they take Trevor Lawrence off the field.
Yes.
Or Tim Tebow, and just to watch Pete Prisco tweet about it live.
Melt. I think Pete would melt. I think he would he would be gone.
He will melt. But this, you know, the Ertz thing makes sense. And then just really quickly, you know, I don't think it's that crazy of an idea that the Jaguars could win this division. This is not a good division. If Carson Wentz sucks, and that's, I'm not saying he will, but that's a possibility because he sucked last year. And, you know, this is not some magic formula to go to Indianapolis and something be great. And if the Titans catch a couple bad breaks and their defense isn't good, like a couple bad injury breaks on offense and the defense is bad, Jacksonville could win the division. Do I think it's likely? Of course not. It's not a good football team. It's a better football team with Trevor Lawrence than it was last year, but it's still not a good football team. But, you know, 8-1, I don't hate it. And that's why if you can get a guy like Zach Ertz to make your passing game better, to give you a more reliable weapon that's not Tim Tebow, I don't hate the idea. So that certainly makes some sense for me. You also have the Saints on here. Pretty obvious what they need to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just to solidify the quarterback position. You know, and this is something that you could say for the Denver Broncos. This is something that you could say for a bunch of teams out here, whether, you know, these quarterback battles that we're going to see over the next few months. But for the Saints specifically, I'm just kind of curious as to which way they're going to go. I think the winds change like every week where it's like, well, you know, Jameis Winston, he looks really good. He's got a perfect arm for this offense. But then you see like a report where it's like, I don't know if Michael Thomas is going to be able to get the ball consistently. And then you see Taysom Hill. Well, you never know. He's not going to be that hybrid guy we've seen much anymore. He's actually going to be more under center. It's going to be something different. But then you're like, well, no, he's Taysom Hill at the end of the day. So, I think it's going to end up probably being Jameis Winston. That's just how I feel. I think that's probably how it's going to go. I think Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill in that role too much to take him out of it for any consistent amount of time. But for me, you know, it's just figure out what they want to do at that quarterback spot, whether it's, you know, decide whether it's between those two, if a quarterback becomes available, because that's a team that's often been in these rumors about, hey, you know, here comes Aaron Rodgers, here comes maybe Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, who knows? But to me, it's just figure out what you're going to do at quarterback and move forward. Because this is a team that is still pretty good. Like you're saying with the Jaguars, I'm talking about the Saints. If one of these guys can hit, like if Jameis is the starter and somehow eliminates his turnovers, you're right back in the thick of it. You were a good football team with a really hobbled Drew Brees. If you have a relatively good quarterback play, you're still a good football team in the NFC.
I mean, Sean Payton went 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater as quarterback. Yeah. And if you can get maybe a more explosive, less efficient version of that in Jameis Winston, and then you have Taysom Hill doing Taysom Hill stuff, no reason to think the Saints can't win that division. The Buccaneers, I mean, Pete Prisco was on HQ Live from Tampa and said, oh, there's no limit to how good this team can be. Well, Pete, they won the Super Bowl last year. But I do agree with him in the sense that, you know, Tom Brady needed an offseason to you know, coalesce with his receivers and to get on the same page and all that. And now that he's had that full year, you know, what if they come out guns blazing early on, the Buccaneers could be great. But, you know, we've seen teams come off a championship and struggle. And if that's the case, the Saints can take advantage and potentially win the division. And if Jameis Winston's good, then yeah, they're a much more dangerous team than I think we would give them credit for if it was like, oh, Jameis is coming off the bench and Taysom starting. Two more that we'll hit on combined really quickly, and we'll get you out of here. Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills. Both have extensions mentioned for Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I mean, do you think we'll get those extensions? We should get those extensions this offseason, right? It would make sense for those teams to go ahead and knock these things out rather than push it down the road. If I think we all believe that these two quarterbacks are future franchise quarterbacks.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about one guy that has an MVP and the other guy that was right there at the end of last year in the MVP conversations in Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And both of these guys are eligible for extensions. Both GMs have talked about how they are open to getting those extensions done. It's just a matter of can they get them done and what matter are they going to do it in? And I think it's going to be pretty interesting to watch these two guys specifically. Who's going to go first? Because these are both, you know, probably record-setting contracts, or it's gonna get close to it. They're gonna be these guys that set the market or close to it. And do you want to be the first guy that goes? Because if you're Josh Allen and you go first, and then Lamar Jackson comes over the top and gets a, you know, crazy contract, you're gonna be kicking yourself. Or if you're Lamar Jackson, a guy who already has an MVP under his belt, and you go first, and then Josh Allen, who doesn't have an MVP, goes next and surpasses you for financial returns. Like, you know, it's really interesting to see how this goes. Not so much even with the teams in these quarterbacks, but how these two quarterbacks and these two deals get done and what order they get done. I think they both get done. I think they both probably are executed before the season. I don't think it's a good idea at all for these teams to wait. You know, we saw with Dak Prescott, he ultimately ended up getting the bag and gotten a lot of money, but were the Cowboys really better off with that story just hanging over their heads the entire time? No, it wasn't. It was, you know, that these are your franchise quarterbacks for the next 5 to 8 years, hopefully injury notwithstanding. Get it done now. Give them the money and just try to contend for a Super Bowl. So to me, that those are the priorities for those teams.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And look, you know, Dak Prescott, what would be really interesting is whether or not the Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson extensions, because there's a case to be made that you just take Dak, you take Patrick Mahomes, and you slot him in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a $5 million per year difference between those two guys. And, of course, it depends on how much fully guaranteed money they want to get. You know, is Lamar Jackson going to get $100 million fully guaranteed, which would top Dak's 95 that he got, and which topped Matt Ryan's 94.5, which topped Aaron Rodgers' 90, whatever. Everybody's trying to top everybody else, right? So the question – or I guess Matt Ryan got $100 million total guaranteed. Aaron had 98. So the question is, how will – and Lamar Jackson still doesn't have an agent. I mean, I think it's him and his mom, you know, so they're going to be working out those details. Presumably, you bring in a CPA or a financial to hash out some of the ramifications of it. But it would stand to reason that both of those players do, in fact, get their extensions. I'm curious whether or not Josh Allen could push past Patrick Mahomes' $45 million, or if he'll even try, or if he'll just say, give me 41. And let's be done with it. Because I do think he loves Buffalo. He fits in really well with that culture and that the fan base. And, I mean, you know, you want to be the highest paid quarterback. But if you can bang out a $41 million a year deal that guarantees you $150 million, do you really care about being at 46? You know, I mean, you like the money. But if it, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like you could take the easy road here, get 41 and worry about it later, and then let Lamar Jackson come in and get 42 or 43.
I'm just interested about Buffalo's mindset, you know, as it relates with Josh Allen. As you were kind of alluding to, this is a guy that is so perfect for the DNA of your organization. It's such a perfect fit. And you have been an organization that has just not gotten the quarterback position right since, like, Jim Kelly. Like, you just have not been able to figure it out, really, whether it was Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, EJ Manuel. It just, you just haven't really been able to find that guy that can take you to an AFC championship, to a potential Super Bowl, and you have one in Josh Allen. Not only is he talented enough to take you to those heights, as we saw last year in his breakout year three campaign, but he's also just so perfect for your organization. That's a really hard combination to find, not only talent, but perfect for your culture. And to me, for a team that hasn't had that quarterback position right, I almost wonder if they're just like, hey, man, we love you. Here's the bag. You know, we'll try to, we'll make it work as much as possible. Whereas the Ravens, yes, you obviously want to, you know, lock in Lamar Jackson, but you've had a little bit more recent success. You're not that starved organization. And I wonder if that urgency, not to say that they neither one doesn't want to get it done, but I wonder if there's that more desperation, that urgency from Buffalo, just because they haven't really been there as much as the Ravens have.
Yeah, entirely possible. Now, you could also argue that, I guess, Buffalo, is this Josh Allen's fourth year now?
Heading into year four, yep.
Heading to year four. So they couldn't, very good timing to have a breakout season in his third year. Because this is the first time he's eligible for an extension. And look, we've seen these guys with Carson Wentz and with Jared Goff where it backfires badly on you when you extend these guys right away. Brandon Bean said, this is back in April before the draft, he said, Josh and I have spoken. I also had one conversation with his representatives. We're just going to get through the draft. And then when we get to later spring, maybe summer, there's no rush. But we'll have some kind of conversation. And listen, we would love to get Josh extended, no doubt. But it's going to be a number that works for him and works for us. And that's been my conversation with them, and they know the same. He then added that it happens when it's supposed to happen. And if it happens this year, great. If it doesn't, I'll be very positive that we'll get it done next year. The one thing that is fascinating about these contracts for both Lamar and Josh Allen is that Mahomes factor. So if Josh Allen goes out and wins the MVP next year, does it matter? He might, you know, they might still be in this slot just because Mahomes is considered this otherworldly Calvin Johnson, Adrian Peterson type for the position right now, where they're like, listen, we understand you won MVP. Now, if Bill's in the Super Bowl and Allen wins MVP, different conversation.
Sure.
And then it's like, listen, if I want $50 million, I'll get $50 million. But you know, I think that Mahomes kind of creates a bit of a glass ceiling for these quarterback contracts. And so if you're Buffalo or Baltimore, you love the Mahomes contract because you can say, listen, you're not Patrick Mahomes. What do you want me to do? I can't give you Patrick Mahomes money. Nobody gets Patrick Mahomes money.
It's true. You know, that is a great point there. You know, I think you're probably, like you were saying earlier, probably leaning more towards Dak in terms of the guaranteed money. And that's probably what you're striving for if you're these quarterbacks, because you're right. Like, at the end of the day, you're taking Patrick Mahomes over Josh Allen. You're taking Patrick Mahomes over Lamar Jackson. As it stands right now, I think the only guy that even has the potential to do something contractually wise as Patrick Mahomes would maybe be Justin Herbert down the line, Trevor Lawrence if he lives up to it. Like, that's about the class that you're in, these like generational surprise quarterbacks. And Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, clearly MVP guys, but they just don't have that Mahomes almost security that you're going to be in the AFC championship or in contention for a Super Bowl on a year in and year out basis. Both those guys are good, but they could also be first round exits. You almost don't even have that with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, if either one of those guys wins a Super Bowl or MVP this coming season, if Lamar Jackson has two MVPs or Josh Allen has a Super Bowl for Buffalo, I mean, your price tag's going up. I mean, that's like the bottom line.
But like a great example would be if Josh Allen has the same leap that he did going into last year, then you're like, okay, this is a different conversation. This is a different type of player. But if he just makes a gradual increase, then you're kind of still in that under Patrick Mahomes area.
Or maybe you both get knocked out of the playoffs by Patrick Mahomes and then your teams are like, see? See, that's why we can't give you that money. All right, good stuff. Tons of things. Every team has something they got to work on this offseason. And Tyler Sullivan has a full list of those items on CBSSports.com. Go check it out. Of course, Julio Jones has been traded, but still, the article is still very good and very worth reading. As always, Sully, good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks. Thank
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.